Lord God, you're a good provider.
Thank you, Jesus.
And too often, Lord, we say, God, why don't you do something? And if we'd quieted ourselves long enough, we would hear you say, why don't you do something?
Wow.
Why don't you do something? Lord, help us to acknowledge that you're always working.
Yes.
Sometimes we're not. And so, Lord, help us not to blame you for something that may be our job. And so, Lord, we, Holy Spirit, we ask that, I'm just believing that you're going to move the hearts of people today.
Thank you, Lord.
To share the abundance that we have in our nation of Australia. We're blessed with abundance. Even those of us who have the least are still blessed with abundance compared to other nations.
Hallelujah.
And so, Lord, move our hearts today, we pray.
Jesus.
Lord, we just thank you this morning too for your word and for your spirit and the combination of your word and spirit that's
Hallelujah.
Like dynamite.
Hallelujah.
That can shift stuff that we didn't think could be shifted. That can heal stuff that we didn't think could be healed.
Thank
can
you,
renew our minds when we didn't think change was possible. And so, Lord, we submit our hearts to your word and to your spirit through Craig this morning. And we ask that you would move us, that you would change us. And Lord, you'd refresh us, refine us, and send us.
Thank
in
you,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, I am... You know, I'm a great fan of Impact Nations because they minister the gospel, they carry the good news of Jesus across nations, and they do it in the love of God, in the love of Christ. They physically bring medical first aid and medical intervention, doctors and nurses delivering care into regions and places that simply don't have access to that care. They bring water filtration systems into cities and villages and towns and homes that have no access to good, healthy, clean water. And so I love what they do. But Jesus said this. He said, you know, being asked about eternal life and eternal things, and he said, you know, I was hungry and you fed me. I was hungry and you fed me. And people said, well, when Jesus, were you hungry and we fed you? I might ask you, listening in on the service today, when was Jesus hungry and you fed him? And Jesus' response was simply the time when the least person that you might consider was hungry and you fed them, Jesus said, you did this to me. You did this to me, not you did this on behalf of me, and not even you are a great representative of me. You know, no, Jesus' words are clear. You did this to me. And so thank you to the senior leaders here at Long Jetty Salvos, Andrew and Mel, for having in your hearts to want to help the body of Christ, and help those listening today to click in and get some funds through to Impact Nations, because, you know, there might have been 800,000 meals to date since May, but there's plenty more still to be served up, still to be plated up, and still to get into hungry people, so we can be part of that. I was very excited to have the opportunity to share with you from the Word of God this morning, because I felt that rather than accumulate information today, I felt that the Spirit of God wanted to take us into an encounter of His presence, an encounter of His love, where Holy Spirit will teach us some things. And so that's my prayer just now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we have the wise counselor, the Spirit of good counsel and wisdom, and we invite you, Jesus, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to bring clarity and understanding to our hearts and minds. In the name of Jesus, I release right now this grace for understanding to come upon each person listening today. Spirit of Christ, would you teach us how to love one another? And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In my heart today, the message has been brewing along for probably a couple of weeks. And the catalyst for this message, which, you know, I wasn't even confident what we would end up calling this. Conversations on Love was one of the ideas. But here's the kicker for me, is actually reclaiming as I have loved you. Reclaiming as I have loved you. These are words that Jesus has for us. Reclaiming what it is to be loved by Jesus. I'm convinced that the hallmark of a disciple the hallmark of someone who follows Christ, the evidence, the embodied stamp that you're a Christ follower is your love from him, your capacity to be aware of his love for you. He loves you, and disciples of Christ understand how much he loves you. Jesus said it like this: a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, those of you who know me, when I've got a microphone in my hand, I must announce the gospel. I must declare the kingdom of God has come. And this morning, the heart of this message is the gospel of the kingdom of unconditional love has come. And I announce it to you today in your living rooms, in your kitchen, here in the church gathered. I announce to you the kingdom of unconditional love has come to you today. Hallelujah. But what are we going to do with that? It's interesting that the kingdom of love has come. In fact, Jesus announced that this very kingdom was within the people he was talking to 2,000 years ago. And so many people are carrying a story of being unloved. Brennan Manning said this, and this probably I want to help frame our conversation today. He said, God is not moody or capricious. He knows no season of change. He has a single, relentless stance towards us. He loves us. He is the only God that man has ever heard of who loves sinners. False gods, Brennan Manning says, false gods of human manufacturing, they despise sinners. But the Father of Jesus loves all, no matter what. Come on, isn't that good news today? This is the kingdom of love come here into our homes, into our families, into our region here in the Central Coast, and here into our nation. The Father of Jesus loves all, no matter what. And my question for you today is, how alive is your awareness of that love for you today? Brendan Manning wrote those words. He also wrote the Ragamuffin Gospel, which is a magnificent read if you want to unpack a little more the love of the Father for you. He wrote another book called The Relentless Tenderness of Jesus. Does that sound like someone who's been loved well? The Relentless Tenderness of Jesus. And another book, The Furious Longing of God, which is his love, his insatiable love for you. Here's a man who's got a revelation of how loved he is. So I mentioned at the top of the meeting, there were a couple of conversations that I wanted to draw on in preparing for this morning's message. The first conversation was with a family friend of ours, a couple who are very, very dear to us, a few years younger than us, but have children about the same age as our children. And this family utterly love us, and we utterly love them. And our kids get on like a house on fire, and they're beautiful, believing family, and they, you know, you're just aware of the presence of Jesus in them, and you're always blessed when we're together. We always have a sense of being blessed when our families are together. And this couple, just a couple of weeks ago, they approached Danny and I, my wife and I, and they said, you know, we've thought about this, and you know, if anything was to ever happen to us as a couple, we would desperately love for you to take care of our kids. Like, there's a pretty deep conversation, right? It was like we were just having coffee and all of a sudden they dropped this on us. And, you know, of course they didn't have any sense that, you know, anything was going to happen or anything like that. But rather just let's have the conversation. They said, you know, we would love for you to be the family that nurtured and cared for our children if anything were to ever happen to us. And I thought about it for a minute, and before I even asked the question, because both of them are from Christian families, both of them have brothers and sisters who are walking with Jesus and who are committed Christians and in healthy family dynamics. And I thought to myself, gee, why wouldn't you ask your immediate sister or brother, or, you know, and there were numerous options of Christians within the family who might have looked after their kids. But before I could even pose that question, they said, because you understand how much Jesus loves you. because you understand how much Jesus loves you. We're prepared to trust our children with you because you understand how much Jesus loves you. And the potency of those words just gripped me, and I haven't been able to shake them. And more I'm convinced, actually, this is the hallmark of a disciple. We understand how much Jesus loves us. And isn't that the message that we carry to the world? Hey, world. Hey, neighbors. Hey, work colleagues. Jesus loves you. The Father of Jesus, as Brennan Manning says it, loves all, no matter what. So this first conversation with a couple so close to us, asking us to consider, would we take care of their children should some catastrophe happen and they were no longer here? Could we look after their children because we understand how much Jesus loves us? And the inference was, you can be walking with Jesus and you can have a faith in Jesus and be unaware of how much he loves you. And I want to speak into that today. The second conversation I wanted to relay this morning was a conversation with one of my neighbours who, as you know, the Salvos are in this time of 40 days of praying, or pray it forward. And the Tugra prayer room just recently hosted an all-night of prayer. And I was in the prayer room from midnight through till 5 a.m., and my neighbours got wind of the fact that I'm out to the prayer room all night, and they're trying to put that together in their heads and thinking, how can you do that? Like, why would you do that? What are you? And out of me was this awareness of, oh no, I'm going to be with my lover. I'm going to be with my lover, the lover of my soul. I'm going to commune with the person of Jesus. And how could I be in a prayer room, you know, midnight through 5, just in the presence of Jesus, alive and delighting in him, because I'm going to be with my lover? The question I have for you is, do you know how much Jesus loves you? Ephesians 5:2 says this: walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. It's a self-emptying, Papa Steve from Impact Nation says, kenotic, kenosis is the Greek word, a self-emptying love, as Christ loved us. He emptied himself to us, for us, and he does that continually. Conversation number 3. Some friends of ours are in a building project, and we saw what was going on just recently, and there were all sorts of dramas, and we're trying to figure out how we could help or be of assistance in some way. And one of our neighbors was pointing to the wife saying, fix her. That's how you can help. Fix her. It was obvious that there were a lot of dramas going on as they were building their home. And it's like, oh, wow, the desire for healing and wholeness, the desire to be loved, it's not far from us. It's probably just over our fence. It's probably just up the road. It's probably just in a group of friends or colleagues or whatever who are crying out, fix me, fix her, fix them. And what they're essentially saying is help us come into an understanding of being loved. Help us to understand, help us to encounter what it is to know Jesus' self-emptying love, to be loved without cause, to be loved for no reason. Help us to understand that and to encounter that. And this was the conversation that I'd heard. John 13, verse 34 says these words, a new commandment, Jesus speaking, a new commandment that I give you, love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Get about demonstrating love as I have loved you. Now, I remember another conversation. This is about conversation number 4 now. I met with a senior pastor of a very large church here on the Central Coast, and I was meeting with him for the intent to get to know him. And in our conversation over a coffee, he was saying, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I just want to figure out how to abound in love towards you. I want to love you, you know, as Christ loved us." And the scriptures are pretty clear. By this shall all men know that you're a Christ follower. People will figure out that you follow Jesus depending on your capacity to love one another. So we should figure that out. That's why I'm here. That's why we're having coffee together. And I could tell over a coffee with this senior pastor, he actually was looking, he had a double take, a perplexed look on his face, and I went, "Oh no, you don't understand how much Jesus loves you. You're leading a church, you're leading a large group of Christians. And when I say the words, as I have loved you, the words Christ has for us today, the awareness of his radical love for us, I could see in his eyes, it may have been a glimmer of a memory past, or maybe not even an experience of, what is that? What do you mean as Christ loved me? Did he believe it? Absolutely. Did he have a theology that would include it? I'm convinced he did. But did he have an awareness for himself of the "as I have loved you" love that Jesus has for us? This is love. John 1:4 says this. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. I'm convinced this is recorded in Scripture to help us get very clear on the fact that whatever we think love might have been, it's probably not. And in actual fact, what love really is that he loved us. Now, that can be a great idea in our heads. And I grew up in Salvation Army meetings where we sang about it, right? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Because we can see it, we can read it. But the Word of God, not that we love God, that he loved us. Do we know this as experience? Do you know this as your encounter today? Romans 15:7. You will bring God glory when you accept and welcome one another as partners, just as, now listen to this, the Anointed One, this is a reference to Christ, just as the Anointed One has fully accepted and received you. As the Anointed One, Jesus has fully accepted and received you. See, these are words that I think need to do a work by the Spirit of God in us. The Anointed One, Jesus, has fully accepted me and received me. That can be information in my head, or I can encounter that experience for myself. And by the Spirit of God, I believe Jesus is teaching us, even in these moments, how to understand and encounter that love for ourselves. 1 John 4:11, here's another scripture. It starts off, delightfully loved ones. Delightfully loved ones, John writes. He's writing to you, believers in Christ. Delightfully loved ones. Is that your experience? Is that your I know I am delightfully loved. Not that I read it somewhere. Not that a good preacher tried to remind me of it. But I am aware by the Spirit of God inside me that I am delightfully loved. Delightfully loved ones, he goes on. If he loves us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? If Jesus gives us a command, love God, love others, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's the source. He's the source. He is the supply of that love. Having experienced such tremendous love, 1 John 4, then loving one another should be our way of life. So what happens when it's not? What happens in the scenarios that play out where there are difficult people to love? Or when I just darn well don't feel like loving someone? Conversation number 5, just this week, had time with a wonderful officer friend of mine, Salvation Army officer, who's serving Jesus in Sydney. And they said to me, look, I am desperately struggling with the challenging people in my life, you know, and they rolled out a series of just chaotic, messy people that were difficult, challenging, demanding, and I could hear in their voice a sense of, it's too hard, and how do I love? These conversations have stirred within me a desire to explore together this morning with you what we do when we're in those scenarios. And here's what I found in the Word of God. Ephesians 5, chapter 2, it says this, continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ. Continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ. Do you know the extravagant love of Christ? Maybe you know of it. Maybe you are aware of it, and maybe you're encountering it. I don't know. But here's the advice. Walk surrendered to it. It goes on, for his great love was pleasing to God. That Jesus' absolute passion and love for you, and the gospel account is often referred to as the passion of the Christ. His great passion and love for you was pleasing to God. Get this, the Father was so pleased at the idea of Jesus' passionate love for you and for your neighbours and for your community and for this region on the Central Coast and for the nations. Father was so pleased with Jesus' love for us. It's like it says in the scriptures, an aroma of adoration. Adoration is another affectionate word of the love of the Father. It's the love of Jesus. It's like an aroma of adoration. I wonder, with aromas, you can smell that, right? You can inhale an aroma, good or bad. Here in the scriptures, an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. Wow, I wonder if we might get healed if we drew from this well of love. I wonder if we would know a greater measure of healing in our body, in our soul, in our emotions, if we were drawing daily from the awareness of his radical love for me. Hear me clearly, I'm not saying get out there and make sure you do some loving. No, no, my message is, get loved. Be loved, postured in an encounter of the love of God. How do we do that? It says, walk surrendered. Walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ. And I thought, well, I could surrender to love. Like, that's not a big deal, is it? Like, it's not a major issue to surrender to love. Surrendering to love would be a good and normal thing. In fact, you'd probably want to give that a go pretty quickly. Surrender to the love of Christ. And I thought to myself, no, when do we fight the love of Christ? And here's what I came up with. We fight the love of Christ when we believe the lie. When we believe I'm unlovable. When we believe that I've got to deserve or earn his love for me. Or when I believe that, actually, who am I? I'm nothing of significance. He couldn't be bothered with me anyway. These are lies that stand in the way of our encounters of surrendering to the love of Christ. And the scriptures exhort us, walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ. So that means I've got to surrender the lies. I've got to fess them up, confess them, and repent. I am repenting now of any story that believed that I was unlovable. I'm repenting now of any story that I sensed I could deserve or earn his love or favour. I repent now of any idea that would suggest that God couldn't be bothered with me because he's passionate in providing Christ for me. This is how we surrender to the extravagant love of Christ. So my message, stop fighting the love of Christ. Let's renew our minds and surrender to his extravagant love. And I suggest even right now in this moment, the Spirit is healing on that. In fact, let's just take a moment and pray. We are in the hall here and even at home. We're just going to invite the Spirit of God to help us to surrender to the love of Christ that we know is healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just sense the Spirit of God teaching us in this moment right now a beckoning and a calling to surrender to the love of Christ. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we repent of believing the lies that would prevent us to surrender. We repent of the lies that say we're not good enough, that we're not lovable, that you're not interested in us, or that we have to strive to earn and deserve your love. Father, we repent of those stories. We renounce them now, and in the name of Jesus, in living rooms and in dining rooms and kitchens and here in churches all over the region right now, I release a great love of the Father and renewing grace, the renewing of our mind with the story we are surrendered to the love of Christ. And I bless you with that great surrender in Jesus' name. Father, extend your healing hand now. Extend your healing hand in this building and around the region right now for those listening to touch our hearts and to bring new life on the stories that have kept us from surrendering to your love. Let your love begin to be poured out in our hearts anew and establish healing in our hearts, healings in our emotions, healings in our thoughts. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we receive that healing work in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's another exhortation from Scripture. I'm almost there. Just two more things. Rely on love. 1 John 4:16 says this, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We know and rely on it. See, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them, it says. So we need to practice relying on the love of God. I don't know about you, but for me that needs to look like something, and for me it's become a rhythm of my daily prayer journal. I won't go a 24-hour period where I'm not positioning myself to encounter the love of God. I'll get away somewhere quiet, somewhere typically later on at night in the dark, quiet by myself, and I'll posture myself to know the love of God. I say, Abba, Father, pour out your love again upon me. Abba, Jesus, the love of Christ, to come and fill me again. And I posture myself and thereby demonstrate a reliance on the love of God, the love that God has for me, the love that Christ has for me. Friends, we want to surrender to the extravagant love of Christ. We want to rely on the love of God. And lastly, we want to be taught by the Holy Spirit. I found this gem just the other day in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 9. It says, now about your love for one another, we don't need to write to you or to tell you about it, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. You have been taught by God love. And I thought, wow, that is it. They didn't even need an explanation on it because the Spirit of God has taught them love. And so, one more. I just want to pray that prayer of the Spirit of God and of His counsel to teach us right now. I'm going to invite the worship team to come and help us, and we're going to worship, and in this moment I'm going to invite that the love of God will just come and just begin to teach you what it is to be in the counsel of His love, to be held in the grip of His hand, to know the deep and abiding affection that He has for you. And the worship team are going to help us in this encounter of His love. And so right now, where you are, here in the hall or at home in your lounge rooms, wherever you are, I'll just make this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you love people. I thank you that you have a relentless and determined love for all of humanity. I thank you that the Father of Jesus loves all, no matter what. And in the name of Jesus, right now, Father, according to Scripture, there is a grace for the Holy Spirit to teach us love. According to 1 Thessalonians 4, Father, you have made a way where the Spirit of God would teach us love. So in lounge rooms and here in the hall and all across this region, in the name of Jesus, I release that grace to you by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, now just begin to breathe and to teach your people love. Begin to establish in people a surrender to the love of Christ, a healing by the Spirit of God through surrender. Establish in people right now, in Jesus' name, a reliance on the love of the Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, teach us what love is. This is what love is. Not that you love God, but that He loved you and He gave Jesus for you. So, Spirit of love, Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit, teach us how to love. teach us how to be loved. Instruct us in the way of love. In Jesus' name.